the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you belong to Him tonight? Amen. We don't belong to this old world. Amen. We don't belong to the devil. He tries to convince us of that sometimes, but amen. We belong to our Lord. Amen. Amen. He's purchased us by His blood. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer while we're standing here tonight. Father, Lord, it's a privilege once again to stand before Your people, Lord, and Lord, to open Your word, Father. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, as we change the order of the service now, and Lord, we look to You and to Your word, Father, that You would speak to the young people here tonight, Father. And Lord, that You would minister to every need, Lord. Father, this is just a great one-room schoolhouse here tonight, Lord, with all ages and people of all different stages of life. And Lord, You know how to speak to each one, Father. So we just put this service into Your hands, Lord, and just ask You to have Your way, Lord. We just ask You to speak, Lord, to us. Lord, because as we said this morning, it all changes, Lord, when You come on the scene. Lord, when You're present, lives are changed. So I just pray, Lord, that You would just come through Your word in a mighty way tonight. We love You, Lord. We thank You. Lord, we honor You, Lord. And we're believers tonight, Lord. We believe You. We believe Your word. So we just receive it with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that You would bless, Lord, the hearers tonight, Lord. Bless every heart, Lord. That each one would be ready to receive, Lord. Our attitude has so much to do with it. Lord, if we would just come with the right attitude, Lord, I believe that You're going to speak to me tonight. I'm not going to look at the vessel that it's coming through. I'm not going to look at the way that it was said, but I'm listening for Your voice, Lord. And I want You to speak to me. And Lord, we know that You will. Lord, You promised that You would. So I just pray that You'd bless every heart here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Just have one scripture that we want to start with here tonight. And this would be a subject we would maybe say back to basics, foundation, fundamental. Great athletes, they train. Whether they're playing their sport is in season or not, they train most of the year round. And you know what they work on the most? The fundamentals. They work and they repeat and repeat and repeat the fundamentals so that the fundamentals are automatic. And then when it comes time for their season or their practices or whatever they're doing, whatever sport they're participating in, they can add the more advanced things on top of the fundamentals. But even then, they go back and they dedicate time to the fundamentals. So, maybe this seems a little simple tonight, maybe a little basic, but I believe that there's a reason that the Lord put this on my heart tonight. So we'll just read here in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. You can be seated. So, I don't know how many times we've probably read that scripture, but it says here that the Word was God. And, there's so many looking for God, searching for God, and trying to find answers to questions, and it's right in front of them. Amen. Amen. The subject that I want to title this tonight is This Old Bible. Amen. Amen. This Old Bible. And I chose this title for a very specific reason. Because the Bible is old. Right? We're speaking to youth here tonight. And You know that the book is old and it's thousands of years old. And in our society, we're conditioned to look to new things. Is that right? For good reason, because technology changes, things change, and new things, new in technology and in our society generally, new usually means better, right? You say new, it's better. New car, it's going to be better than the old one, right? It's going to have improvements. It's going to have new features. You get a new phone, better than the old phone. New is better, right? Technology progresses. Features are added. Hopefully bugs are fixed. Hopefully new bugs aren't created, right? We leave behind that old, pressing on to the new, because new is better. But we must not fall into that trap when it comes to God's Word. Amen. Amen. And, you know, particularly as young people, our tendency might be to look at something modern or look for something new. Look for something that we might say is current, right? We might be influenced to think that, you know, it's not cool to be looking at something so old or to be, you know, something that's outdated or outmoded. But the old Bible is proven.
Amen.
Amen. It has stood the test of time. So it's not old in that it's lost any of its power or strength or truth. But it is old in the fact that it has stood the test. It stood the prodding and the probing and the scrutiny.
Amen?
Amen? It's timeless. It's original.
Amen?
Amen? And it will outlast anything that this current modern age can produce. Amen. All you have to do is go and look at the shelves of a Bible bookstore and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of books. And those books come and go and not a single one of them can replace this old Bible. Amen. There's no substitute for it. There's nothing better than it in this world. There's nothing that this world can offer that's better than God's Word.
Amen.
Amen? So in this case, old means good. It means it's proven. Amen? This old Bible, it's the old way. It's the original way. So what I hope happens here tonight, and you know, this is not the normal kind of preaching service here. We're going to, since we're speaking about this Bible, we're going to read from this Bible a lot. Amen? And so I hope that you don't, you know, it doesn't strain you too much to read and listen. And we're going to read many statements from the message about this. Because I want and I hope, my desire is that you get more excited about grabbing a hold of exploring what you have access to.
Amen.
Amen. What is presented before you? What you hold in your hand? What God has given you?
Amen.
It's not a fad. There are so many fads that come and go, and things that are cool today and are old tomorrow and outmoded, and we go through things like that in our lives. Amen. It's not just society fads. It's things that we get excited about in our life for a certain amount of time and then we move on to something else. And trust me, I'm that type of person. I have lots of interests, you know, so my life is littered with, oh, this was interesting. Let's go explore that a while. Oh, nope. Let's go over here and explore this for a while. Oh, let's learn about that and let's try this and let's do. And since I happen to be a reader, I get books on everything. So you look at my book collection, oh, you got little books about this, and we got little books about that, and all through my life, different things. And we go through those where we're interested in things. We have focus in our life, depending on the time of life. But this old Bible transcends all of that.
Amen?
It's not a fad that is here today and gone tomorrow. It should be part of our daily life. We should be as excited today as it was the first time we picked up that Bible. Amen? And so, as part of this tonight, I hope that you leave more excited about the Bible and reading God's Word, but also just to challenge you, amen, to study it and to grab a hold of it and to make it yours. Because it's not enough. It is not enough for you just to come to church and to hear it preached. It's not enough for you just to listen to the message and hear it preached. You have to read the Word yourself. Amen. So, let's look at this here a little bit. So, we read here in John chapter 1 where it says that He is His Word. Amen. We understand that. The Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word was made flesh. We understand that that's Jesus. And then we understand that that's the Logos, that is the very thought of God expressed. And then we know that that Word of the very thoughts of God were written down for us and became what we call the Bible, the God's Word. Amen? And so that is His expression of His thoughts for us. Brother Branham put it like this in one place. He said, this blessed old Bible, he said, it's God's eternal textbook. Amen. You know what a textbook is? A textbook is something, a manual about a subject. Right? If you take a class or something, they're gonna say, okay, this is the textbook for that subject. Amen. This is the authoritative manual about that subject. Well, this is the textbook for life. Amen. God's eternal textbook. It doesn't change. Amen. It doesn't need revisions. It doesn't need updates. It's God's eternal thoughts on the matter. Amen. God expressing His thoughts to us. I mean, that's powerful. You want to know what God's thoughts are? You can find out. It's right there in His Word. Amen. And His Word is just as eternal as He is. Amen. So I promised that we would read from this Bible, and so we're going to do that tonight. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus speaking, but My words shall not pass away. Amen. Amen. So the things that He spoke that you can read will not pass away. Amen. Your teachers, their words will pass away. Any scientist, their words will pass away. Any authority that you can think of on earth, pass away. But His words will not pass away. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's good advice. Amen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. When you're born again, you are born by the Word of God. So the Word of God is the source of your life. Amen. Born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, this is why we talk about the living Word. Amen. We're going to get to that, hopefully, when we get to the end of this. That this when we say this old Bible, we're not just talking about a printed page. Right? We're talking about the Word made life, which is the Holy Spirit anointing you as you read the Word. Verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Nothing that man can do lasts any longer than grass. Grass is here today, gone tomorrow. And usually in Tucson, it's about that fast. Amen. It's green one day, and it's brown the next. Amen. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Let me read that again. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word was preached. The word was written down. The word is preached. The word is written down. We read it. We preach it. We read it. We preach it. You say, I'm not a preacher. You still preach it. Amen. Because you live it.
Amen.
You read it. You live it. You preach it. But you got to read it. Hallelujah. So Genesis to Revelation, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's God's gift to us. He gave it to you as a gift. And it's perfect. And you say, well, I don't need that. Well, God thinks you do. Because that's what he gave it for. Amen? It is what we need. Hallelujah. Anything that God utters is eternal. And it's power. And it has life. And his words have life. And he took his words and encapsulated it so that we could read it in a book. Amen? And then speak it out again. His word is so powerful that it created everything there is.
Amen?
Amen. Hebrews 11:3. We're going to quote some of the scriptures, but we're just going to read them. Amen. As many as we can tonight. Amen? 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Amen.
The word of God. God uttered his word. And the worlds were framed by it, so that the things which are seen were made of things, were not made of things which do appear. That which was invisible became visible, because God spoke his word. Amen? And he had faith in his word. Through faith we understand that this happened. Amen? So what power can it have in your life? Amen? Reading the word by faith. And believing it by faith.
Yeah.
Reading it and believing it. What power can it have in your life?
Right.
If it created everything, I think it can maybe have an effect on you, don't you think?
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
Will we believe it? Will we speak it? Will we apply it? It's the foundation of our faith. It's the absolute, is what Brother Branham said, right? The word of God is an absolute. The absolute is a final authority on anything. It has the final say. He gave the example of the Supreme Court in terms of the law of our land. When it comes to applying the law. Amen? The Supreme Court has the final say. You can go through court and appeal and court and appeal and work your way up. But once you get to the Supreme Court, that's it. Final authority. Whatever they say, that's the law of the land. And God's word is the absolute. You can go through this man and ask for this opinion and go, well, I think this and they think that and I believe it. But the word is the final authority. We can just go straight there from the beginning. Amen. Bypass all the middleman. It supersedes everything. Amen. You want to know a direction for your life? Look at the word. What does the word say? Amen. You want to know what God's promises are? Look at what the word says. The devil's trying to paint a picture of who you are. What does the word say?
Amen.
Take it back to the word.
Amen.
But you've got to be reading it. You've got to be in it. You've got to be taking it in on a regular basis. Amen.
Amen.
The absolute, the word absolute means perfect in quality or nature, complete, not mixed, pure. It's not limited. It's not restricted. There are no exceptions. Amen. His word is not limited. There are no exceptions. Well, but, you know, in English, we were talking about this the other day with English language. You know, there's rules with language. But in English, there's all these exceptions. Well, except in this case, you know, I before E, except after C. Except when it's not. When it's this. Right? And you can never know. You're never sure. And that's the way life is sometimes. Well, is this true or is this true? And you know, there's exceptions and I don't know. God's word isn't that way. There are no exceptions. There are no restrictions. You wonder, is it for me? Yes, it's for anyone that will believe his word. That's why it's so powerful what Brother Branham said. Any man who can take God's word and believe it. Amen. He's obligated to honor that faith the same as any other. So you can read in the word of God where God dealt with some person some way, and that applies to you. You can receive that for yourself. Amen. There's no exceptions, there's no limitations, no restrictions. It's not to be doubted or questioned. It's an absolute. It's complete, unconditional, final. Amen. Hallelujah. Our society shuns away from absolutes. It doesn't want anything to do with absolutes. It's always, well, you know, and this point of view, and this person has this opinion, and you have that opinion, and everybody wants to know what everybody's opinion are, and this, you know, yours is just as valid as this one. Well, there's truth. Amen? There is an answer. There is an absolute. Amen? Society will say, well, there's no right way or no wrong way. There's just how you feel about it. Well, my feeling may be up here, may be down there. It may be up one day and down the next. Your feelings could be all over the map. But God's word never changes. Truth never changes. Amen. This is why man creates his own versions of God. Because he leaves aside what the word says. And he says, well, I feel this way. I've had people tell me with a straight face, when presented, I had somebody asking me one time, in fact, it was a marriage and divorce question, always very tricky, right? And I said, well, this is what the word says. Well, I can't believe that my loving God would, well, I just gave you the answer what the word says. But can't accept it because, well, it doesn't fit my image of, I can't believe that a loving God would, well, that's what his word says. So what do you want? Do you want just whatever you feel like God should be like? Or do you want the truth? Amen? Amen? Humanistic thinking is born out of man imagining what they think God should be like. But the word tells us straight truth. Amen. That's why this old Bible is so attacked. Amen. That's why the devil tries to keep you from it. Because it exposes the devil. It exposes his workings. Amen. And it preaches to us the true Jesus. It reveals the true and living God. But people and churches imagine what they think God should be like. Or it's based on their experience. This is what Brother Branham dealt with the Pentecostals. They had all these experiences and manifestations of the Spirit. And then, well, you know, blood out of the hands and all of these things. And Brother Branham said, you can't find that in the Bible. You're not on solid ground unless you're squarely founded in the Scripture. Amen. You become, if you go that direction, you become an idolater. But the word protects us against this. That's why this is your protection. That's part of why I want to encourage you young people to get into the Bible. To read it for yourself. Because it's a protection for you. It's a shield against those things. Amen? Modern organizations that lead to man's or lean on man's thinking, they leave off the Word of God. The Roman Catholic Church is the perfect example of this where they are outward with it. They don't even put their trust in the word as much as in the church. But all the offspring, the denominations, all have a form of that where they've rejected the word. Amen? In our day, our prophet indicted the generation for the crucifixion of Christ a second time by rejecting the word. Amen? That, brother, sister, is idolatry. Amen? And the Bible says that we will be judged by his word. So let's. I promised that we would read more. Let's read more here. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. These are the organized religions of the day. Amen? Where they had the word. They had the law. They had the teachings of Moses. And you know what they did with the word of God? They added to it. Right? They filled up books full of rabbis interpreting and adding to the scriptures such that the book, their Bibles were full of, the scripture was this much of a page and all the rest of it is what man thought about it. And Jesus came on the scene and he said, in vain do they worship me. Their worship isn't worth anything because they're not founded in the Word. He says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, Amen. You hold the tradition of men.
That's right.
And he gives examples as washing of pots and cups and many other such like things do you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition.
Right.
And then he gives another example. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, and whoso curseth mother and father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by, he shall be free. So he just gives an example of someone who was twisting the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. By their own reasoning. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words.
Yes.
Now you can find lots of people that say, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? I love Jesus. Jesus loves me. But they can't stand the word.
Right.
He said, ashamed of me and of my words. In this adulterous and sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We will be judged by his word. Amen? John chapter 12, verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And people go, see, I love Jesus. He doesn't judge me. But look at this. Read on. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We'll be judged by his word.
Amen.
For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak.
Amen.
These are the words of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And that's what will judge the world. The word. It's kind of like getting the test ahead of time.
Right.
Amen? You're going to take a test and somebody gives you all the answers. They give you the test ahead of time and here's all the answers to the test. Amen?
Amen.
As Christians, we're judged now. Right? We receive our judgment now.
Right.
We come under the blood of Christ. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit, and now the word judges our sin. The word now is judging us.
Amen.
The word, when we come to church and we hear it preached, when we read our Bibles, I was saying this morning, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, that's the word judging our sin for us to put under the blood. Put it under the blood.
Yes.
Amen? But it's the word doing that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are the ones that testify of me.
Amen.
Amen. But he said, search the scriptures. In the Bible, the apostles, they were spreading the gospel. They were preaching the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there was a group called the Bereans. Amen. And the Bereans, it said that they were noble. It commended these people because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things be so, the Bible said. They were hearing what was being preached, and they were checking up on it. They were checking in the scriptures. Well, Paul, the church age messenger, is preaching, and they were taking it back to their Bible. They were taking it back to the word. Is that the word? Is that what it says? Amen? And God commended them for that. Oh, that we could be like that. Amen? It's not to say that you would doubt the ministry or you would doubt your pastor, but it would honor him to take what he's saying and go read it for yourself. Amen? Go experience it for yourself. This whole Bible is our spiritual food.
Amen?
Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Just as important as our daily food, our soul needs the word of God. Just as our body needs daily bread, just as our body needs to eat and drink and breathe, it needs oxygen. We need the word of God. Our soul needs it. Otherwise, our soul will shrivel up. It will be spiritually, spiritually atrophied. Amen. We will not grow. We will not be strong. Amen. We will be spiritually weak. But one of the surest ways to stunt your growth is to not read the Bible. Amen. Never listening to it or reading it for yourself. It's good, brother, sister. Don't misunderstand me. It's good to come Sundays and Wednesdays and to hear the word preached. Yes. Amen. We must do that. And that is the word of God. Yes. Amen. And we believe that. We believe that the word preached is God's program. And we believe that that's how God takes us deeper into the things of the scripture. Amen. But it's not the same as your daily bread.
Amen.
It's not the same. It's not a substitute for you getting in and reading your Bible yourself.
Amen.
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 This is where people start to squirm a little bit. Amen. Because we all fail at this.
Amen.
At one time or another.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. But we keep it up, don't we?
Yes.
We understand how important it is. Now, let me just stop here and interject something, because there are mechanics to this, and we leave off on the preaching part of it, and I just want to give you some advice about mechanics of how this works, right? Because I've been kind of saying read, but it you can listen as well. In fact, in the old times, that was the only way. There were a lot of people that were illiterate, and that was the only way they were able to partake in the scripture, was to have somebody read it to them. Amen? And not to say that we're illiterate or anything like that, but sometimes it's better to listen. We can listen to it or we can read it. Both are important. Both have their place, I believe. But also mechanics of it. I want to encourage you, especially young people, because you're what they call, this generation is what they call digital natives. You heard that term before? All the old people are sitting back there going, ooh, ooh, ooh. Digital natives. That means that as long as you've been alive, we've had these little things in our pockets. Right? We've had the internet. And you really don't remember a time where we didn't have these things. Right? Is that true? Right? And like I said, the old folks are like, whoa, I can't even imagine that. Right? That's what the world calls a digital native. Now, so no doubt that digital natives, the natural inclination is, well, I have my Bible on my phone, right? And there's nothing, that's great. I have several different Bible apps on my phone. I have Bible apps that I use for searching. There's different ones that are good for different things, right? I search with some. I have ones that are more like, they're audio, so they're like a daily reading, right, that I can listen to. There's lots of good resources out there for your phone or your tablet or whatever device that you happen to have access to. And that's good. But I want to, this is my opinion, all right? This is just my free advice. It's not going to cost you anything. I'm not going to charge you a fee or anything for my counsel here tonight. But my advice would be, don't just have that.
Amen.
Okay? Also have
Amen.
This.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm afraid of digital. I mean, look, I've got this and I've got this. I've got Bibles on here. I've got the Message on here, right? Multiple message apps. I do a lot on my tablet and my phone. I mean, you guys know me. I write software for it. I like technology. I enjoy it. But there's something different about a physical copy as well. And they go hand in hand and they're different, okay? Because when you're on your phone, think about your phone for a second. Again, this is just mechanical. This is just advice. If you think about your phone for a minute, think of all the things that you do on your phone, right? I mean, there's a ton of things, I'm sure. I could start going down the list, but that's not necessary. You know all the different things that you could do on your phone, from communicating to people to, looking things up on the internet, whatever it is, listening to music, right? But when you read your Bible, it should be a set aside time of focus with the Lord. And if what we find is if you do it, if you are doing it on a device that is inherently attention grabbing, it is inherently multitasking. It wants you to do this and also this, and you can do this, and it's easy to just flip from one app to the other, right? Well, I'm reading my Bible. Oh, but I just, and oh, by the way, there's a thing called notifications, right? Oh, an email just came in. Well, I need to look at that. Okay, let me look at that. Let me reply to that, address that, and oh, back to my Bible, right? And so it's just a different experience. That's why I really wholeheartedly endorse having an old paper Bible in addition to your electronic one. Amen? Because it's different. It's time that you can set aside and it switches something in your brain that says, okay, I'm not doom scrolling. Right? I'm not on social media. I'm not thinking about, my people. I'm not thinking about those things. I'm focusing. I'm redirecting my attention. And if you have trouble focusing and paying attention, it's going to be even worse if you're trying to read your Bible on your phone. So I recommend that you have Bible reading time with a paper Bible where you can set that time aside and put the phone in a different room. Amen? And just get away with the Lord. Because we want to read our Bible prayerfully. We want to read it in the Spirit. We don't want to just read it like it's, any other book. We don't read it like a novel. We don't read it like a magazine or a newspaper. Amen? It's the Word of God. We read it prayerfully. But even if you're distracted, it's better to read it than not. So that's why I have it on the phone. For those other times. Oh, I've got a couple minutes while I wait for something. Well, hey, you can pull up your Bible real quick and read a daily verse. Have a daily verse popping up in your notifications instead of something from, Instagram or something like that. Right? Have a daily verse catching your attention. And put the Word of God before you. Amen. As also just technology, maybe, some won't understand this, but because I've been embedded in technology all my life, it's my vocation. I've been part of social media and things. So like Twitter, which originally Twitter, now it's X. I was on that very early because of the professionals in my field. Many of them were on there and a lot of information was disseminated that way. And professionally, it actually was an advantage for me to be on there and be up on what the latest things were. Don't need to bore you with the details. But anyway, just trust me that was something professionally that we did. But so I learn things from being on there. But even in something like that, what you follow or what feeds you bring in, that's important. And there are Bible feeds for all of those things. So like if I go through my feed, I follow Bible accounts, right? There's a Bible verse for this. There's a Bible verse for that. And so the Word is always before you.
Amen.
Amen? So no matter what you do, you want the Word to always be for you. Before you. Amen. So that's the mechanical part. Amen. That's the end of the advice portion of tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when we fail to be in our Bible, to be and brother, we know, we quote this all the time, right? They asked Brother Branham, how do I get closer to God? And what was his answer? Read your Bible and pray every day, right? And we know that we all fail at that at one time or another. If you've never failed at that, then you get a gold star. Congratulations. Amen. But we do that to our own detriment. Right? We suffer. We're hurting ourselves. Our spiritual life suffers when we're not in God's Word. Amen? And because what happens, brother, sister, is we are constantly bombarded with other things. Right? And if we don't have the Word of God as a fortification against those things, then we begin to wonder, well, what is truth? Right? We begin to ask questions, well, what about this? And you know, I keep hearing this. And you're not hearing God's word on the matter.
Right.
Amen? It's like a plant. Brother Branham said that if a plant is healthy, he speaks about not a hotbed plant, but a native plant. Amen? That's strong and healthy. And any plant that's healthy, the best way to keep a plant, or protect a plant, rather, from disease and bugs and things, is to keep it healthy and strong. It's better than spraying it with insecticide. Because a healthy plant can withstand those attacks, and it can just grow, and it's strong, and it's got life. Right? And so that's the best way to guard ourselves against the working of the enemy in our life. Is a daily intake. It's like an inoculation. Amen? Against the lies of the enemy. It's against binding spirits. Against the spirits of depression and suicide and things that are so rampant today. You know what the antidote is? God's Word. A steady dose of God's Word. Because you don't find those things in God's Word. He doesn't say that about you. He doesn't say you're worthless.
Right.
On the contrary, he says you're a prize, you're of great value.
Amen?
Amen. And so if you're constantly feeding on that, you're inoculated when the enemy comes against you and says you're worthless. You say, well, that's not what I read in God's Word. God said something different than me. See, it's a lot different than you saying, well, Satan, my pastor said that God said, but not having first-hand knowledge. But when you read it for yourself and God's Spirit is anointing it, amen, then you can say, I know you're lying, devil. Amen. Your spiritual discernment is more keen when you're in God's Word. Amen. Your spiritual discernment is powerful and you can rightly divide. Hallelujah. That's why the Word, that's why the Word is described as our weapon. It's described as a sword. As I said this morning, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. It divides asunder. That's the Word of God. It's the best weapon that God could have given you. If He could have given you a better weapon, He would have. But He gave you this old Bible. Amen. As a weapon of your warfare, so that you can use it against your enemy. And that word, that this old Bible, amen, it's been around for thousands of years, and yet it will still defeat the enemy.
Amen.
It'll defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances, on any grounds. There's no demon that can stand against it, because it's God's Word. And you can't improve on it. We improve on our weapons, right? We get, you know, we start out with slings and spears, and then we get up to bows and arrows, and then pretty soon we've got guns and we've got bombs and cannons and airplanes and whatever. But God's Word is the best weapon that He could have put in our hands. Amen. This old Bible in the hands of a believer is like a nuclear bomb on the gates of hell. Amen. Hallelujah. What power that you have access to tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I'm not sure where we are in our readings here. Can you just give me the next one here? I might have skipped one here. All right, yeah, let's read this. Now, this is Brother Branham talking about the Word of God as a discerner in warfare with the devil. He's speaking about Martin. He says, he's speaking about a man, a beggar that Martin saw in the wintertime. Amen. Perhaps you know the story. It says, Martin stayed off for one side and watched him for a while, and nobody would do it. Nobody would help this man. He said he only had one coat, and he'd freeze himself. He was on duty if he'd give him that coat. So he thought, both of us have a chance to live if I divide it with him. So he took his own coat, split it in two with his saber, and wrapped the old bum in it. And he wrapped his own coat around, and everybody said, what a funny-looking sentry. What a funny-looking soldier, half a coat wrapped around him. And the next night, he was off duty. And laying in his bed, he woke up and looked, standing there in the room, and there stood Jesus Christ wrapped in that old piece of a garment that he put around him. And he knowed right then that what you do unto my little ones, that you have done unto me. To my anointed laying there. And he was a great servant of God. And the church made fun of him and persecuted him and kicked him out and everything else. But he was a prophet of God. And that's what he said come to pass. There's many believed him in that age too. And he says, I want to show you how deceiving the devil is. One day he was sitting in his study. And up come a mighty angel. So he had seen Jesus, right? That was his first experience, was seeing Jesus wrapped in his coat, right? So he was used to this type of visitation. So the devil says, well, I'm going to impersonate that, right? Because this is how God dealt with him. So he says, I want to show you how deceiving the devil is. One day he was sitting in his study, and up come a mighty angel, crown on his head, golden shoes on, lace around his garment of gold, and said, Martin, do you know me? He said, I am your Lord and Savior. I'm the one that saved you. Worship me, Martin. Now, how many of you would have said, well, wow, that's amazing, and just worshiped him, right? But he says, but that prophet, knowing that there was a little something strange there, he kept looking at him. You see, his spiritual antenna went up, right? He said, Martin, I'm your Savior, Jesus Christ, worship me. Don't you know me, Martin? Martin kept looking at him, and look at the part that I've made in bold here. The scripture running through his mind.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You see, because he knew the scripture, because he had read his old Bible, now he was about to use that in battle against an enemy, a very convincing, deceiving enemy. And that was what made him question in the first place, the scripture running through his mind. He didn't have time to go grab it off the shelf and find, where does it say that? He had read it. He had taken it in, and he had remembered it and memorized it, and it had become part of him. And it so much that in that moment, the word comes back to him and it's running through his mind. And he said, Satan, get away from me. You got a crown on your head, and the word of God says his saints will crown him at the end of the age. Now look at what Brother Branham says. He says, wouldn't that have been Pentecostal bait? Watch the word, brother. That's where it pays. What he's meaning by that, he's saying people, well-meaning people that would see that and say, oh, it's supernatural. It must be from God. And you can find thousands of people out there even today that claim to be a prophet or a prophetess. They claim to have visions from God. They claim to speak on behalf of God. They say, thus saith the Lord. And it's not according to this Bible. And what he's speaking about, Pentecostal bait, it's people will just take a hold of that. Because they won't check it with the word. But brother, sister, Martin was founded in his Bible. That was his absolute. He knew the scripture on that. Amen. Now look, I don't want you to stress about this, okay? God allowed that because he knew Martin would pass that test. That was his child. Amen. He's not going to allow more on you than what you can stand.
Amen.
Amen. But you see how what battled against that deception? It was knowing the word. And you never know when you're going to have to go to battle. Amen. You don't know when the enemy is going to come against you. Right? Remember, when the enemy came and tempted Jesus, what did he do? He quoted scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't have time to go, well, let me pull out my phone. Let me go find that. No, he knew the scripture. Amen. He had read it. He had heard it. He had taken it. It had become part of him. And if that seems far away and unattainable for you, let me tell you it's not. You start one scripture at a time, one little bit at a time. There's probably scriptures that you can quote now by heart just because you've heard them so many times being preached to you. Amen. That's the way it starts. Repetition. Little by little by little by little. Amen. And that will defeat any demon in hell. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, sister, that's why it's good for us to commit it to memory. To make it a part of us. Again, mechanics in this, right? We should memorize scripture as much as we can. Amen? Because you don't know when you're going to need it.
Amen.
Now I'm going to read here a statement that people in this message might use to say, well, see, we shouldn't memorize, but that's not what's being said. Amen? Let's continue because I've got a whole bunch of verses and we need to read these. Amen? So John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this is not just a weapon of our warfare, but it is promises. Brother Branham described it like a mine of gold nuggets. Amen? That you could just dig into at any time and it all belongs to you.
Right.
And you can just find one nugget and say, oh, look at that, man. Get that down and shine it up a little bit. Examine it. That belongs to me. That's mine. Hallelujah. And it encourages you. It contains our inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
He said, if my words abide in you.
Amen.
Well, what does that mean? It means they're not just left on the page, but they're now in you. You've taken them in. Amen. That you've made them a part of you. Then you shall ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go on to the next one here. John 17:17 says, sanctify. So John, this is Jesus praying. Sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is truth.
Amen.
The word sanctifies you. The truth of God sanctifies you. It keeps you clean from the world. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus. He says, now divine healing is a minor, and you can never major on a minor. Anyone knows that.
Amen.
He says, but F.F. Bosworth, one of my managers, was in the foreign fields with me, just recently went home to glory, 84 years old. He said, Brother Branham, divine healing is like the bait you put on a hook to catch a fish. You never show the fish the hook, you show him the bait. And he grabs the bait and gets the hook. So that's the way it does. Divine healing and the powers of God to heal the sick draws the attention of the people, and when it does, then you can let the gospel go to catch them in the net and heal the soul, which is millions times more than healing of the body. That's right. The Lord bless you is my prayer. He says, now this is the divine word, and I solemnly believe it from lid to lid. I rest my soul on any phase of this blessed old Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we need to be able to say that with confidence. Amen? He says, I believe it from lid to lid.
Right,
and I rest my soul, he says, on every or any phase of this blessed old Bible. He says, I've been preaching it now for 31 years, around and around the world, and I've never seen it fail yet.
Amen.
And it won't fail. As long as it's God and we have the faith to back up what he said, God will perform what he said he would do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just go on to the next one here. This is getting in the Spirit. He says, search out and find out whether it's God's in it or not. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs and wonders and miracles. When we see our churches cooling down and those things not happening and have to wait till you get some special evangelist in town or something and beat a few tambourines and work up a little emotion, God isn't in that. I tell you what we need today is back to the old Bible again. No, that's too simple. Come on. We need something deep, Brother Branham. Back to the old Bible again. Back to the old-fashioned Pentecostal teaching of the Bible. Back to the Holy Ghost. Back to the power of God. You see, all these things go hand in hand. Back to the all-night prayer meetings where they're hungering and thirsting for God. That's what we need tonight in our churches, is to bring that into our systems. Now, what happens, brother and sister, when you read this Bible, when you get back to the old Bible? That leads to, and back to the original Pentecostal teaching, what he's saying. Amen. Back to the Holy Ghost. That puts a hunger and a thirst in you for more of God. You begin to see when you're reading the Bible more. Then you begin to see, I'm still leaving some things out there. Amen. There's things that are promised to me that I need to believe God for, and I need to stretch my faith out. And it builds faith muscles. Amen. And then we're hungering and thirsting for God. And then that's where those all-night prayer meetings can come from. He said, that's what we need tonight in our churches. Amen. This is from the message, Why? Next one there. He says, now we realize we haven't got the tinsel on the meetings that we did it the first time. Usually a revival breaks out. It lasts, according to history, about 3 years. And a minister usually gives his best in 3 years. Ooh. I'm way past that. After that, he lives on his reputation of what he's made in those 3 years. Of course, he's speaking about the great revivals and the meetings and things, you understand. Amen. I'm so glad I've placed mine on the Word. Amen. His reputation is on the Word. He says, so I can live by the Word. I just believe this blessed old Bible. I think it's the grandest thing. I think it is God. The Word of God in letter form. And when the Holy Spirit lines up on it, it brings it to life. From the message, Persevering, he says, that's the way our minds will run in the same way if we let it get off the Word of God. With carnal conceptions. He says, my daughter here tonight, she said today, she was trying to pull one on me. She said, I have the Ethics of Darwin here. I'd like for you to read it, Daddy. Sense of humor, right? I said, thank you, I did years ago. One time's enough of that. But this old Bible, we never get enough of it. Just soaking it in. Soaking it in. Soaking it in to the glory of God. You can read it over and over, soaking it in. You can read the same thing 100 times, and then the 101th time, something strikes you a different way. Amen. And it just soaks into your life. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness, of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also are you called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Remember, it's abiding, dwelling, living your life in the word. Amen? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. Dwelling in the word. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thy eye. Yes. Amen. May it be a beautiful thing to you. Amen. Bind them upon your fingers and write them upon the table of thy heart. Amen. Amen. Take it in. Make it part of your life. Amen. Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Hallelujah. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Amen. You know the word. Then I can walk in the word. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen. Amen. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, and teach me thy statutes. We want to know his ways. We want to know his thoughts. We want to know his opinion on the matter. And his word is final. Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Memorizing it. Amen. I will not forget it. 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. It's true and it's always going to be true. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word gives you direction. His word helps you know where to, what to do in life and how to take the next step and how to make decisions. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Amen. Amen. All my hope is in the Lord. My hope is found in his word. Amen. My encouragement, it speaks of my future. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Amen. You want to grow? Get in the word. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Just like that, he says. As the rain comes down and everything grows because of the rain. Verse 11, he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen. Amen. It's going to do what he sent it to do. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Amen. The word of God is able to make you wise. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Amen. This is the word of God speaking of the word. Amen. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, well, that's Old Testament law. Well, how much more should we meditate day and night in the new revealed word? Old and new together, all of it revealed in speaking of Jesus Christ. Amen. Meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You want to prosper? You want to bless those around you? You want to have fruit in your life? Amen. You get plugged in. You get roots into the word of God. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We've been kind of paraphrasing and quoting that one all along today. Amen. And Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The law is within my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to practice with this sword. Amen. We've got to use it. We've got to make it familiar to us by reason of use. Amen. You know, that's what the scripture says, that we would be a discerner of spirits by reason of use. That we would know the word, and when we hear something that isn't quite the word, we would recognize it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just read you some more statements from the message, if that's all right. The conflict between God and Satan. He says they couldn't have turn every atom upside down and turn it backwards. They could never pierce the word of God. One little word. Because Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never. So he's saying, you know, they could, they're talking about splitting the atom, and it was the atomic age and how much power was released and, you know, how much energy and all that. He says they could do all of that and still never, never stop one word of God.
Amen.
Amen. He says, because heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. See, he says that's the best weapon there is. It's the word of the eternal God.
Amen.
Now, what is the word of God? The word of God is God himself. So God gave the believer himself.
Amen.
Amen. Think about what you have. Think about what you have access to tonight. He gave the believer himself. Amen. Whew, he says. It's God himself. He gave the believer himself to attack the enemy by. In other words, he's the Father and the Word is God. Then the Word is our Father. We're born by the Word. And he's standing in the forefront for his children. Amen. There you are. He's standing out there for his children. So what are we scared about?
Amen.
The rapture is sure.
Amen.
The coming is sure. Every blessing that's been promised is ours.
Yes.
It all belongs to us.
Amen.
God's covenant with Abraham. He says, watch, Jesus could have used his power, but he didn't. He used the word. He said, it's written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he stood three times and defeated Satan all three times. And three is a confirmation of a witness. And he defeated Satan on his own ground with the word of God.
Amen.
And the weakest Christian here tonight can defeat Satan anywhere.
Yes, the weakest one, that's right.
I'm so glad he said that. The weakest Christian.
Amen.
Who's the weakest Christian tonight?
Amen.
Don't raise your hand. Amen. But even if you think you're the weakest Christian, you're included.
Amen.
You can defeat Satan anywhere. Say, I can defeat Satan anywhere. Any place, anytime, under any conditions, with thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He says, you just believe it.
Amen.
God said so. From Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, now remember this. I make this quotation that the word of God will defeat Satan anywhere, anytime, any place, on any condition. The word of God alone, it is written, will defeat Satan. No matter who he is or what form he comes in or where he's at. So if it comes in sickness, if it comes in a depression demon, if it comes in a binding spirit,
amen,
if it comes in a lying religious spirit,
amen,
any form. No matter what form he comes in, where he's at, it'll defeat Satan. It is the now that is the truth. The written word of God.
Amen.
Notice that's what he says. The written word of God. So you've got access to something that will defeat Satan.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, what else do you want? Amen. What else do we need? The revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, if revelation is beyond you, look up and seek God for it. That's the only way you're going to get it. A revelation has to come from God. It never comes by human natural endowments, but by spiritual endowment. So this is the one I was talking about a little earlier. He says, you can even memorize the scripture, and though that is wonderful, that won't do it. It has to be a revelation from God. Now, he's not saying don't memorize scripture. Right? He's simply acknowledging there's many people that memorize scripture that have no idea what that scripture is. Oh, they might have an intellectual understanding of it, but they don't have a real revelation of it. It's not living to them. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't memorize it. Amen? He said it, but it has to be a revelation from God. So the reason that I'm reading this is I want you to know that you need to read your Bible with prayer. Amen. Through the Spirit. Amen. In the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen? He says, you can even memorize scripture, and though that is wonderful, that won't do it. It has to be a revelation from God. It says in the Word, no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. Then you have to receive the Holy Ghost, and then and only then can the Spirit give you the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, God, the Anointed One. Amen. Amen. And continuing on, the identified Christ of ages, he says, until you come in behind that badger skin, until you get out of your old skin and your old thoughts and your old creeds and come into the presence of God, then the Word becomes a living reality to you. Amen. Amen. Then you're awakened to the Shekinah glory. Yes. Then the Bible becomes a new book. Now, he's speaking about coming in behind that badger skin. He's speaking about coming into the presence of God and receiving the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't read your Bible before that. I'll tell you from my own experience, that was how I received the Holy Ghost. Because the Word says it was for me. I saw in the Word God's promise. And I took a hold of it. And I repeated and I reminded God what His promise was. Lord, you said in your Word, I've read it myself, and I read it over and over to remind myself again and again that, Lord, you promised that I could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you said this promise is unto to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I did, to repent of all my sins, make everything right. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that Word will come to life. Amen. Hallelujah. But he says then when that happens, then it becomes a living reality to you. You're awakened to the Shekinah glory. Then the Bible becomes a new book. Not a different book, but a new book. Then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're living in His presence, eating the showbread that's only provided that day for believers, priests only. And we are priests, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people giving spiritual sacrifices to God. But you must come in behind the veil to see the unveiled God. And God is unveiled, and that's His Word made manifest. Amen. Amen. And just one more quote here, and then we'll wrap this up tonight. He says, now, enticing spirits, he says, don't play now. This is not a playing time. And brother, sister, that is where we want to bring this down to tonight. This is not a time to be playing. We are at the end time. This is the wrapping up, the ending of all things as it regards the Gentile church. We are coming up to the coming of the Lord. Amen. And things are happening faster and faster and faster. And we can't be playing. He says, this is not a playing time. This is a receiving time. This is a time that you must get it. Come dump it out right now. Will you come give all you got to God and say, God, I ain't got very much. I'm just a little housewife. I can't do very much, Lord, but I can read your Bible. I can pray every day. So when he's saying dump it out, what he's saying is just bring everything that you've got in your life. Amen. Just bring it all and just put it at His feet. And you say, I can't do very much, but you can read your Bible. He says, you can read your Bible, and I can pray every day. And I can throw out all the trash that's in my mind. And I can throw out all that stuff. Amen? I can throw all that worldly junk out of my life. Amen. He says, I'm guilty of a lot of things, that preacher said this morning, so I'm dumping it out today. I don't want it. God, fill me with love. Amen. This should be our prayer tonight. Amen? Yeah. Fill me with the thing that makes me love the bitterest enemy I got. Amen. I want it, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He reveals himself to you through this old Bible. Amen? We can be filled up with so many things, brother, sister. There's so many things in this life that want to take your attention, that want to fill you up, that want to make you think their way and believe what they think. Amen? So many things vying for our attentions and our affections, but we want to fill up with the Word of God. Amen? We become what we feed on.
Amen?
What we feed on, what we gaze on, what we let our eyes look at, what we take into our soul. The Bible says that our eyes are the window to our soul. What we take in, what we hear, that's what we become. That's what our makeup is. Physically, our bodies are just the food that we eat. Amen? All the molecules of the food that we eat, that's what's used to build the cells in your body. Well, it's the same spiritually. What you take in is what your soul is, what your soul is feeding on. Amen?
Amen.
What you think about, what you meditate about,
Amen.
What you think on, it shapes you, it changes you. Yeah. It forms you into an image. That's why we want to be reading in this old Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our prophet couldn't bring anything outside of this Bible. He brought just what the Bible says.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, one time when he was getting ready for the seals to be opened, and somebody said, Brother Branham, you know, they expressed how, oh, that could be the 23rd chapter of Revelation, you know, just trying to compliment him. And he said, no, it's got to be in the Word.
Right.
Amen. Whatever is opened under those seals, whatever revelation comes through his ministry, it has to be tied back and found in this old Bible. Amen? So, if that's the case, go find yourself. I challenge you tonight. Find yourself in here. Go look. Search the Scriptures. Amen? This is where you find eternal life. Amen? Let it speak to you. Let Him speak to you. Let Him tell you who you are. John, in the book of Revelation, he was a type of us. He was a type of the bride. And the angel came down with that little book open, right? And John took that and he ate it. And he was told that he had to prophesy again. He had to take what he ate, what he heard, what he consumed. And he had to prophesy again. He had to live it out. He had to manifest that word. And that's what we have to do, brother, sister. We prophesy by living out this word. You look at somebody's life, I can tell you what they're feeding on by what they're living out. Amen? We must prophesy out the word of God that's changing you. You can't give somebody something that you don't have. At the gate called Beautiful, when the apostles came to that man and he said, he asked alms of them, and they said, look, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but I do have something. Such as I have, I give unto you. Amen? Such as I have. You can't give out something that you don't have.
Amen.
Don't discount the power of this because it's simplicity tonight. Amen? I challenge you to commit to reading the Word and renew. Amen. Renew your joy of His words. Let's read this last scripture I think we've got here. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Then I consumed them. I looked and I saw His word is good, and I just ate it up. And thy word was unto me joy, and it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
Amen.
For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Amen. Amen. You claim to be called of God. You claim to be a Christian. You would find joy and rejoicing in his word. Amen. His word should be the joy of your heart. Amen. Amen. He's coming soon, and this is part of us getting ready. The Bible says the bride has made herself ready. How? She's dressed in the wedding garments. What is that wedding garment? It's the Word of God. She's dressed in the Word of God. You say, well, what does that mean? It's a paper dress? No. She's living it out. She has it on display. Amen? Let this move. And this is what I pray for every young person here tonight. And I've been referring to this as this old Bible. But I want you to come to the place where it's not this old Bible or that old Bible, but it's my old Bible. Amen? Where it's yours. It's your possession. It's the Word of God He gave to you. It's your possession. And you know it. You're armed with it. You know what it says. It doesn't mean you have to memorize the whole thing. But it's become yours. Those promises you know are true because you've experienced them. That's why, you know, I was talking about paper Bibles. I don't care if your Bible is pink or blue. Do whatever you want. Make it yours. Amen? Big letters, small letters, you got to draw all over it, whatever. Amen. Make it yours. Amen. Do whatever it takes.
Right.
Sacrifice whatever you have to make it yours.
Amen.
Because this is life and death.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. Amen. Then let's just bow our heads. Father, we understand, Lord, just different kind of a service maybe tonight, Lord. A simple word, Father. Simple admonition. But yet I know, Lord, from experience, there's power. Lord, if there's follow through. Lord, if we would do these things and take this admonishment, Lord. Lord, if we would act upon it, Lord, there will be changes. There will be changes, Lord, because your word changes us. Lord, and I pray that for every single one here tonight, Father. Not just young people, old, young alike, Father. We all need this, Lord. We all need more of your word. We need to just renew ourselves, Father, in your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bring joy and excitement to these young people, Lord. That your word, it wouldn't be an old, looked upon as an old, ancient thing, something that's outmoded or outdated, but that it would be so real and so live, and so living, Lord. That it'd be something that they would just yearn for, look forward to. Something that just becomes part of their life. Sometimes it's mechanical, Lord. We know that sometimes it's just forming habits, and that's part of our human experience, Lord. Sometimes we have to force ourselves to get into a habit, but then once we're there, Father, we see benefits from it. Lord, maybe they need to do some things mechanically. They need to have discipline and make a decision. Make a commitment, Lord. Whatever it takes, Father. The main thing is the result, Lord, that we spend time with you, listening to your words. And I pray, Lord, that as they do that, each one of them, Father, maybe it's just a verse here or there, small, a small start perhaps, but Lord, I pray that you would water it and anoint it. And may it just be like rolling a snowball, Lord. Maybe they start small and just read a little here and read a little there. And as they go, it gains momentum. And Lord, they gain understanding. And They become closer to you, Lord, and it just builds and builds and builds into a giant avalanche of the glory of God in their life. Lord, we all have to have your word. It's our very life. It's our spiritual food, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given it to us. We thank you, Father, that you thought so much of us, Lord, that you gave us your best. And Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us, Lord, for the opportunities that we've passed up and the opportunities that we've missed out on, Lord, where we could have taken the time to just open this old Bible and heard from you. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I pray that you move in these young people's lives in a mighty way, Lord. I know that if they do this, Lord, there will be fruit. You will come and you will multiply. They take one step, Lord, you'll multiply it. I challenge them tonight just to take one little step, make one little change in their routine, in their life, and watch what you will do, Lord. I know that you'll move on that. I know that you'll bless them. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray that you just be with each one tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. The Spirit's groaning deep within. It must be God. I feel